I think we're all set to go. As everyone gets settled in here, just call the meeting to order, the June 18th Board of Directors meeting for Monterey Air Resources District. Can we have a Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I'd be happy to. At the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Roll call, please.
All right. Let me do the after the roll call or before the roll call. So
we can start roll with call. That, Eduardo.
Yeah. Maybe roll call, please.
Thank you. Director Alejo. Director Eskew.
Here.
Director Carbone.
Here.
Director DeSerpa. Vice Chair Hernandez.
Here.
Director Jensen. Chair Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Labar. Director Lopez. Director Montesino.
Here.
Thank you. Director Sandoval. You have quorum.
Great. We have a couple questions for the record we have to ask of Director Montesino. Director Montesino, can you please confirm why you are remote and whether you're in the room alone or if there's anybody over the age of 18 in the room with you?
I'm using AB2449. And nobody's in the room.
Thank you very much. That would take us to our first item, which is presentations, recognition of retirements for Julie Duran.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. Julia can come up. Now, Julia's already had a taste of freedom or retirement for a couple of months, but we brought her back to make a big deal out of her retirement because it is a big deal. It's very momentous. She spent over 32 years here with the agency. 33. So that is over last time I checked. It's been amazing to have her here. She's worked in all the programs. She's added value to all the programs. You may recall one of my favorite programs was our calendar art contest for kids. And she was very instrumental in getting that off the ground and running that for many years. We also used to have an electric car program where we taught instructors and teachers how to build electric vehicles with their students. They were toy cars. And that was a really great program as well. She's helped us with all of our administrative systems, filing and so forth throughout the district and touched all the programs, as I said. And we really miss her already, and we're going to miss her going forward. But before she really got out of the door, we wanted to give her this obligatory cutting board. And I'll just read it. So it does say for over 32 years. You can scratch that out. And of outstanding service and dedication to the Monterey Bay Air Resources District, protecting and improving the air quality in Monterey, San Benito, and Santa Cruz counties. Presented by the Monterey Bay Air Resources District Board of Directors, June 18th, 2025. Here you are. Use it in good health and thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julia, for your commitment to the organization. Any other? All right. That would take us to public comment. So this would be any person may address the committee during public comment up to 3 minutes and any items that are not on the agenda.
I do not see any hands raised online at this time. No hands raised in the office here in the boardroom and nothing received.
Great. Thank you very much. No public comment. That would take us to reports by committee chairs on committee meetings, and the first meeting was the Budget Personnel and Nominating Committee. We just held that today at 12:30, and we received and accepted our Treasurer's Report on Investments for the quarter ended March 31st. We received a report on other post-employment benefits and pension trust accounts for the quarter ended March 31st, and we recommended the appointment of a professional engineer to the hearing board. And with regard to the OPEB and the pension trust, we consented to have that item brought back at the August meeting to review options for investment strategies in light of the stock market turmoil. So other than that, that's all I had from that one. Anything from advisory committee?
No, the advisory committee did not meet this month.
Thank you very much. Any public comment on budget reports by committee chairs?
It's raised online. Nothing received, and no one here in the boardroom. I don't always say office. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And for the record, Director Alejo is here. Thank you very much. And then that would take us to item 7, which is comments and referrals from the chair and board members. Any comments or referrals? Hearing none. Do we have to do? No. That would take us to our consent agenda. So the consent agenda is consisted of items that are routine. It will be considered all at once. And unless directors would like to pull any items from consent, do any directors want to pull any items from consent? Hearing none, is there public comment for consent?
No hands raised online. Nothing received at the district office. No one here in board.
Second.
First, yeah.
Right. Director Alejo. Director Eskew. Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director DeSerpa. Vice Chair Hernandez.
Aye.
Director Jensen. Chair Kosmicki.
Yeah.
Director Montesino.
Yes.
Thank you. Approved unanimously.
Thank you very much. That would take us to our regular agenda. We did have a request from Director Carbone to move, because she has a personal matter to take care of here soon, to move the two items after the Woodstone change out program ahead of those, just considering the sort of the level of substantive level of those two items. That would be items 16 and 17. And moving the Woodstove changeout program to before the report from the resolution officer. Is there a will? Is that okay from committee members to do that? I'm seeing that as a yes. So we would move the Woodstove changeout item to after item 17. And that would take us to item 16, which is hold public hearing and adopt resolution approving proposed revisions to the following rules 300, 301, and 309. And we have Amy Klimel here for that.
Good afternoon, members of the board. I'll be giving you an update, as I did in April, about our fee rules. Next slide, please. So each year, as part of the budget process, we review our set of 11 fee rules. And our Rule 301 has our fee schedule. So all of the fees that are associated with all 11 rules are in Rule 301. But this year, we had a few changes we wanted to propose in Rule 300 and 309. So we're bringing those to you today as well. Next slide, please. So the proposed fee rule revisions include a 2.8% fee increase, and that's based on the consumer price index. And in Rule 300, we are proposing to add a new category for composting and to clarify the requirements for expired permits, which permits expire when their renewal fees are not paid after 120 days. In Rule 301, we're adding a clarification to the fee schedule, and we're revising the public notification to include website posting. And then in Rule 309, we're adding clarifications to be consistent with our hearing board regulation that the board approved last year. Next slide, please. So I just wanted to provide a few examples of what a 2.8% increase means. And for our filing fee for our applications, it's a $7 increase. For an emergency diesel engine that we renew each year, that increase will be $12. The hourly staff rate will go up $5. So just some examples to see what 2.8% increase means. Next slide, please. So in Rule 300, I mentioned we wanted to clarify some of the language for when a permit expires. And so we're adding some timelines there that we would unexpire a permit if they pay within 30 days of that expiration. Otherwise, they're going to have to apply for a new permit, which in most cases costs more than just paying your renewal fees and late penalties. And hopefully this will help us get people back in compliance, and but give them a timeline as well. Next slide. Next is we've been issuing permits for composting, and we wanted to provide a, we call it a source-specific category of fees. So we established three different categories for composting operations and the associated fees with that based on the size of the compost operations that we've been permitting. Next slide, please. And then in our Rule 301, we had the hourly staff rate, but it wasn't designated to an actual schedule. It was just sort of hanging out on its own. So we decided to clarify that, and we added it as Schedule 1. So it's clear in the rule and in the fee schedule. Next slide, please. And then finally, in our hearing board fee rule, there's a health and safety code definition of the term essential public service. And so we are proposing to change that section and provide that the APCO can recommend to the hearing board to waive fees for agencies that meet that essential public service definition from the health and safety code that's also in our hearing board regulation. And then we're striking out a section that would have allowed the hearing board to waive fees because we don't feel the hearing board has the authority to waive fees. Next slide. So we did have three public workshops to where we discussed both the budget and the fee rules, and we didn't receive any comments at those workshops. And we had one public member attend the Monterey location meeting. And then we did receive one comment by email, and that's included in the board agenda packet today. Next slide. And so today we're asking for you to adopt the resolution to approve these fee rule changes. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Public comment, and we'll bring it back to the directors.
No hands raised online, nothing received at our district office, and no one here in the boardroom.
Director DeSerpa?
Yeah, just the red button. There we go. When people's permits are expiring, are they supposed to keep track of that, or do we send them like a reminder?
Yes, yeah, so we by the time it expires, they've already received three invoices from us. So, yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, then I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution as recommended.
I'll move approval.
Second.
First, the Serpa, the second, Alejo. Roll call vote, please.
Sorry, slow. All right. Director Montesino.
Yes.
Thank you. Chair Kuzmicki.
Yes.
Director Jensen.
Yes.
Vice Chair Hernandez.
Yes.
Director DeSerpa.
Aye.
Director Carbone. Director Eskew. Director Alejo.
Aye.
And did I include Vice Chair Hernandez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That would take us to item 17, the second public hearing on the proposed budget for fiscal year 2025-26. Consider adopting 25-26 budget in the amount of $20.89 million. And we have Rosa Rosales.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Rosa Rosales, the Administrative Services Manager. And today I'll be presenting the final proposed budget for fiscal year 25-26. And reviewing the changes that were made since the preliminary budget was presented in the April meeting. Next slide, please. So the budget revisions are overview. We've attached the APCO budget memorandum, which was not included in the April preliminary. We've got some budget revisions. I'm updating the expense and revenue pie charts and then the updated budget schedules. Next slide. So for the revenues, we had the EPA grants. The 103 grant for the PM 2.5 for the air monitoring, we decreased that about $55,000 due to not receiving any allocation from the EPA. There's been delays in their allocation. So just to be safe, we decreased it by $55,000. Then the CARB emission inventory grant that was awarded after we did our April presentation. So that's an additional $12,583 added to the revenues. And then we got our final California Department of Finance population report. And that's going to be an increase of about $2,000 for the city and county contributions. And then we had other grant revenues for the Inflation Reduction Act grant that we received from EPA. It's a 3-year grant. So this year we're proposing to use about $220,000 of it. So I did not include that in the April preliminary. So that was revenues that were increasing. And then for expenses for the EPA 103 grant, we're reducing that because we're not expecting as much from the EPA. So we're reducing it about $30,000. The salaries that were attached to that were just reallocated to the other funds. And then we got fixed assets increased by about $34,000 due to additional air monitoring equipment that was requested. And then we had a benefit increase on our dental plan premium, so we included that. Next slide, please. So then this is just our revenues graph that we showed. So our April preliminary was about $17,181,717 in revenues, and it's been updated to $17,361,294. So we had the federal grants went from went up to $461,618, and that was the decrease of 55 city and county contributions. There was a 3,000 population increase, so that increased the city and county contributions by about $2,000. The state grants went up $12,583, and then the other revenues, the Inflation Reduction Act grant was included. Next slide. And then these are the numbers from the expense graph. So April was $20,895, and then it was updated to $20,890. So we actually had a slight reduction, about $5,415. Next slide, please. So then I updated the schedule. So the operating revenues, as you can see, that was the change. It was about an increase in revenues, about close to $180,000. Expenditures by division was a decrease of about $5,415. So then that surplus, we reduced the deficit by about $185,000. Next slide. And then, so this is the general fund schedule. This was the changes, and it's almost the same thing. $180,000 in the revenues was increased. The decrease to the expenditures was $9,844, and then the deficit was decreased by about $189,000. Next slide. And then this is the other schedule that changed. The revenues, there was no change. And then the expenditures by division was the $4,106 that increased. And that was due to reallocating some of the monies from that EPA 103 grant that we had to move. Next slide. And then this just shows the other funds. And this is basically the changes because of the dental premium. So it's just a little bit of money there. So I just wanted to include that so you see the changes there. So our general fund balance, we're estimated beginning on July 1st is about $9,886,000. We have revenues of $7.422 million. And then less expenditures. So we're estimating our fund balance to be about $8,770,000 at the end of fiscal year. Should be 2026, 6/30/2026. We have a reserve balance of about $3 million and the unreserved balance of $5,714,000. So we're recommending that the board approve the final revisions and adopt the 25-26 budget. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Go to public comment. We'll bring it back to the board.
No hands raised online. Nothing received at the office. And here in the board.
We have questions or comments from the board.
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the revisions and adopt the final 25-26 budget.
So moved.
First.
All right. Director Montesino.
Yes.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Director Alejo. Aye. Director Carbon has left. Director DeSerpa.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hernandez.
Aye.
Director Jensen. Chair Kuzmicki.
Yes.
You have approval.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Rosa. And that would take us back to the item 15, which is receive presentation to approve 2025 Wood Stove Changeout Program.
Thank you, members of the board. My name is Edward Ballaron, and I will be presenting on the 2025 Wood Stove Changeout Program. So the primary goal of the program is wood smoke reduction. And so we know wood smoke contains a number of toxic compounds, including PM2.5 and PM10, with PM2.5 being the primary component of wood smoke. Now, to implement this goal, the Wood Stove Changeout Program aims to replace all old, dirty, wood-burning fireplaces and uncertified wood stoves with cleaner burning solutions, including electric heat, pellet stoves, and EPA-certified wood stoves. There will be two funding sources for the Wood Stove Changeout Program. The first is the Clean Air Fund, which comes from NBARD funding and is a collection of funds from the settlement of various violations where those funds will be used on projects to reduce emissions. The second funding source is the Community Air Protection Program, which stems from Assembly Bill 617 and really aims to reduce pollution exposure in environmental justice communities. It also looks at a number of different factors, including socioeconomics, environmental health, as well as sensitive populations. Now, the Wood Stove Changeout Program has had a long history of success going back all the way from 2007 and extending to today, which is the latest iteration of the program starting in 2023. In that time, over 1,100 wood stoves and fireplaces have been replaced. And so to continue this success, $200,000 has been allocated for the year of 2025. Now, in past program iterations, MBARD staff have taken a targeted approach when selecting projects by looking for projects within our smoke-sensitive areas, as well as our low-income and disadvantaged communities. To continue that success, the 2025 program will only look at projects within those low-income and disadvantaged communities, as determined by the California Climate Investments map seen here, blue being the low-income areas and green being the disadvantaged communities. Low-income households outside of this area may also apply. However, they would have to be determined as low-income households themselves, and that would be determined by the Central Coast Area Services and participation in their LIHEAP program. As I mentioned, $200,000 in funding has been allocated for projects. This will be ran as an incentive program, and so projects will be reimbursed after completion, which essentially means homeowners will incur the initial cost of the change out, which leaves MBARD, eliminates the immediate financial responsibility for MBARD. We will also continue using our LaserFiche program, which is our online document management system. And through LaserFiche, applicants will be able to upload documents, receive notifications, as well as any sort of project updates. And so what all this means is increased efficiency for our planners. To be eligible for the program, applicants must be a homeowner and own either an open hearth fireplace or an uncertified wood stove or wood insert. And the definition of uncertified simply means that the device was either manufactured prior to July 1st, 1988, the device is not listed on the US EPA list of certified wood heaters, or the device simply does not have any labeling describing any sort of emission standards. Additionally, the device must also be operational and used as the primary source of the heat for the home. Applicants will be able to choose from a number of different wood stoves, including electric stove heaters, electric heat pumps, wood pellet stoves, hybrid wood stoves, catalytic, and some select non-catalytic wood stoves. As with previous iterations of the program, natural gas and propane will not be eligible as replacements. As I mentioned, for the 2025 year, program funding will only be reserved for applicants who reside in these low-income and disadvantaged communities or are low-income households themselves. And so applicants who decide to go from an uncertified wood burning device to a certified wood, pellet, or electric stove can expect to receive up to $2,500. Applicants who decide to go from an uncertified wood burning device to an electric heat pump can expect to receive up to $5,000. And then finally, here's a quick example of what a standard changeout would look like. On the left is the pre-inspection photo of an open hearth fireplace. And on the right is a photo of the post-install of a catalytic wood stove insert. So these photos would be uploaded to LaserFiche for MBAR planners to process. And so thank you. If you have any questions about the program, I'd love to hear them.
Thank you very much for that presentation. We'll go to public comment and then come back to the board.
No hands raised online, nothing received out of our office, and no one here in the boardroom.
All right, we have questions, comments from director. Yes, Director Eskew.
Thank you. When we say that the wood fireplace, the fireplace has to be used as
the primary source of heat for a home, does that mean that the home doesn't have an electric heater? How is
typically, yeah. So we get a lot of our projects in San Lorenzo Valley, which oftentimes rely on very old. So those are the sorts of projects that we're looking for. And we would have them attest on the application itself that that is the primary source of heat for the home.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
Director Alejo?
So follow up on that then, how do you certify that that's accurate?
So we have installer agreements with installers who are the ones that go out on our behalf. And of course, they're the ones that install the wood stoves themselves. And so they have a checklist that they have to go through to ensure that all requirements for the program are met. And so those installer agreements are signed beforehand.
Great. Obviously the need is much greater when you look at the numerous counties that are part of within our jurisdiction, and the 2,500 at most would get us to about 80. What happens after this year, the money is exhausted, would the program continue, or how do we expect additional funding to come?
The chair, thank you for that question. What wasn't said today is that typically we were looking at $500,000 from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund of the state of California, and that has been zeroed out in the governor's budget. So I've talked to Senator Laird about trying to get that reestablished, because it does improve public health, reduces greenhouse gas, which is black carbon in this case, as well as CO2. And based on the budgetary problems we're having in the state right now, doesn't look like this is going to grow any legs anytime soon. So this year, what we've done is we've used the Clean Air Fund, which is our fines and penalties. And we supplemented that with another grant program that's traditionally not used for fireplaces, but it is allowable to be used. So we were able to cobble 200,000 together this year. We can probably do that amount next year. So we would anticipate doing that, short of getting any additional monies from the state. We were also successful last year and in previous years of getting other air districts monies as well, because they were not using them to their full advantage. So there is some potential that there may be some extra dollars out there, but in short, there's no real revenue source for this type of program. We've worked through the Real Estate Association to try to get a change out at point of sale. They threatened to sue us and everybody about that. They don't want another piece of paperwork to have to fill out, but something has to be done, because we don't generate revenue from permit fees. We don't permit these things. They're in people's homes. We don't have the ability to do that, even if we wanted to. Estate sales tax may be an answer, but, you know, taxation is a popular thing to do, especially right now. So we're just looking for a stable source of income that could help us get through the next few years. You will see that on that list of prohibitions is we will not pay for natural gas or propane. And that's a holdover from the state. They don't want to see any more combustion being used. So hopefully the state will find a way to fund this going forward. But short of that, it looks like we can probably put together at least this amount in the subsequent years.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you for that question. Other questions or comments?
Yes. Could I see the maps again that illustrate the areas that are economically challenged?
Yes.
The reason I ask, because I got areas that are unincorporated that don't necessarily fall within that, the city, in our city, but I got the areas in the unincorporated like Casserly, Aromas, Green Valley, and as well as Supervisor DeSerpa out there, Hazeldale and Eureka, that do run on wood. So I was just wanted to see if that area is included.
I don't know specifically that area, but I can check.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, also, I should just add that if they are low income certified or qualified through Central Coast Energy Services, now there's a big question there with LIHEAP. I understand that the current administration is talking about defunding that program, but should Central Energy Services still be around and operating, they will help us determine the low income qualified applicants. So they don't necessarily have to be living in those areas to qualify, but
individually.
Yes, you know, individually. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Anything further? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the 2025 wood stove changeout program.
Motion to approve.
Second. Yes, Hernandez.
Hernandez.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
All right. Director Montesino.
Yes.
Director Alejo. Director Eskew. Director DeSerpa. Vice Chair Hernandez.
Aye.
Director Jensen. Chair Kosmicki.
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Thank you very much. That would take us to the report from our Air Pollution Control Officer, Luke Stedman.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. First of all, I'd like to start out and introduce a new inspector, Mike Hamaguchi, who is in the audience. Mike comes, he started on May 12th, but he comes to us with over 16 years of experience at San Joaquin Valley Unified Air Pollution Control District. First as an air quality inspector there, then as an air quality supervisor. Mike holds his BS degree in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior from the University of California, Davis. Mike's an all-around great guy, and he's going to be a fantastic addition to our compliance team, so we're very lucky to have him. Yes. On June 10th and 12th, we conducted interviews for the vacant administrative assistant position, of which Julia just left. So we hope to have a replacement very soon. We were notified that the wine group has taken ownership of the Constellation Brands winery located in Gonzales, and we'll be working with them on transferring their permits. It's a huge operation. It's a major source for this air district. Also in May, Amy and I attended a National Association of Clean Air Agencies conference membership meeting in Houston, Texas. We both gave presentations to the membership. I talked about the battery fire here in Moss Landing, and Amy discussed our permit database. Both were really well received. In fact, afterwards, EPA came up to me and wanted to get information specifically about how we operate our database and have all these connections among various other programs using LaserFiche. So that was a huge success, and I feel like we're really stepping out front in the nation with how we're handling our permit and automation. Our standing agenda item here is that we received two of our complaints from marina residents since the April 16th board meeting. Both complaints identified composting as a source of the odors. The complaints were investigated by an employee from either Keith Day or Regen Monterey, but they were unable to detect any odors in the neighborhoods. They're pretty transitory. We don't expect that to happen. Planning and air monitoring, we've been working with the Department of Toxic Substances Control in the state and the Army on a planned 287-acre prescribed burn at the former Fort Ord later this year. MBART has received a grant of about $200,000 from DTSC to cover administrative costs for smoke management activities and public response. Our Monterey Bay Electric Vehicle Incentive Program, which provides residents with incentive to purchase new and used all-electric or plug-in electric vehicles, will be launched on July 1st. That's certain now that we've approved the budget, so thank you. $500,000 has been designated this year for the funds from our AB 2766 program. The air monitoring program will receive a technical systems audit from the California Air Resources Board staff later this year. The audit is required by EPA every 5 years. So we're always getting scrutinized with all our monitoring stuff. It seems like every day we are undergoing some sort of audit, but that keeps us on our toes and we can assure that the quality of the data is up to snuff. And then as conditions get warmer, we're gearing up for increased smoke from wildfires. We had a couple by my home earlier this last couple of weeks. So it's gonna happen and conditions are really bad this year. So we sort of escaped the smoke last year, but I don't think we're gonna be as lucky as this year. So we're gonna mobilize our communications and let people know that they can get up to the minute information on wildfire smoke at our website. And that depicts our sensor network, which has been deployed throughout our three county jurisdiction and gives a really good picture of air quality on a near real-time basis. So we're really happy to have that. And as you guys have heard me say at every meeting, we're still in search of advisory committee members. Each of you have two appointments. We'd like you to reappoint those folks that have been sort of maybe straggling on from other appointments or what have you, just so we're sure who we can hold accountable to attend the meetings. Some people are not answering us. And they're not sure if they're appointed or not, I think. So you have to, we have put a notice on the website so people can fill out an application and you guys can actually approve that if you wanna pull from those qualified applicants. Also, I'm getting nervous about meeting quorums. So I'll bring this to your attention at the next board meeting, but perhaps one idea is to go back to regular monthly meetings so we don't forget that we have a board here. I don't know, I'm grateful today that we were able to have a quorum so that we could get our budgets approved. And then what was not in our budget is a pretty huge EV project that we're going to be building right outside our office here. We want to put in at least 6 DC fast chargers in our parking lot, which means extending the parking lot. I'm currently looking to line up funds through grant programs, and I've got a pretty good commitment from 3CE to help pay for the costs as well. So there's going to be ancillary costs. We're even looking at potential solar to help augment some of the electricity demand. But that should be a project that will be happening in the next year. And if we get that firmed up in time, you will be seeing a budget adjustment to reflect that change. It will be probably a pretty hefty price tag. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. For the record, Director Lopez has joined the meeting during that report. And then is there public comment on the Air Pollution Control Officer report?
No hands are raised online. Nothing received at our district office and no one here in the boardroom.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Hearing none, that completes that item. And that would take us to, I believe, our closed session item.
Yes, thank you, Chair Kelly Donlin, General Counsel for MBARD. I guess procedurally, we'll start out with, I'm going to announce now there's